And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The final week of October is upon us, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 4 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Elberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
Not much, Nick. Happy Sports Equinox Day to you and all who celebrate. As always, this episode brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
And to you as well, plenty coming up on today's pod. Pete Jensen will drop by to dissect this week's waiver wire list, plus another hot card in the NHL this week. We'll throw some bets your way to consider. But I got a question for you off the top. Can you guess or name the top scorer in the NHL right now, Jake?
I don't think I can. Tage Thompson's heating up a little bit. My Tage Thompson call's looking a little bit better by each game, but I don't think it's him. Who do you got for me, Nick?
It's really fascinating, man. Nico Hischier, as we have this conversation, number one in the league. Kucherov's there. Caulfield's there. Ross Colton's the guy Pete pinpointed last week. There's some interesting names. Sam Bennett, Barbashev, and then Tage Thompson.
I love this time of the year for that. You've got three or four guys at the top of the goal list that probably shouldn't be there. Not that they're bad players. Like, all those players you mentioned are good players. That top line in Vegas, Nick, I mean, is this a line that we can trust all season long? You mentioned Barbashev in there. I've been sprinkling him for a point most of these games. They're still hanging him around plus money. I think from a fantasy perspective, he's got to be one of the steals of the year so far.
Oh, certainly, and I think I was reminded keenly the other day that it is a Four Nations year, which means Mark Stone. I mean, there's some method to this madness. He's a very motivated player, and he's been exceptional thus far. I just think given the track record of the injuries, and he gets older and older, I wouldn't be opposed to trying to sell high on Mark Stone right now, but in general, a well-oiled machine are the Vegas Golden Knights right now.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Can we trust Mark Stone for the whole season? The answer is probably no, because it's too early, right? There's too many games left, and you know Vegas might get tempted to use that LTIR at some point. But if he does play the full season, I mean, he could end up being one of the steals of the draft, playing up on that top line. We know how good he is on a per-game basis, Nick. And you talk about, you know, buying low, making trades. Might be an unpopular opinion, but should we buy low on Zach Hyman? Like, I know we're having the Hyman conversation, it feels like, weekly, but one assist this season, I just feel like it has to get better, and there's got to be some distressed Hyman owners out there right now.
Oh, for sure, and it depends, you know, buying low, what that means to you. Like, going into the season, I'll put it out there, I didn't think Zach Hyman was a top 25 fantasy player. I pointed this out 2 years ago. Remember Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had close to 100 points or whatever it was? Last year was Zach Hyman. This year, it's going to be somebody new. I think within reason, Jake, I would execute that buy low. I just have to be cognizant of the fact that everything bounced Hyman's way last year. Like, even watching that game on Sunday against Detroit, he's just getting no bounces right now.
Well, no, and I was watching the game as well, and I felt like, man, he just looks off. Like, he looks like he doesn't know where to go. And, I mean, last year he seemed like he was always in the right place. So would I expect, if you trade for him, to him snap back to last year's form? I don't think so, but I just feel like there's an angle where anyone who owns Hyman right now has got to be frustrated and wanting out of that file. So I think you could get a lot of value back for him. And if I don't have him in a league, I think I'm tossing out some offers for Zach Hyman right now.
Fair enough. You talk about angles. Looking forward to Monday night, the Steven Stamkos revenge game. We talked about Zach Hyman's slow start. Same could be said for Steven Stamkos in Nashville. 8 games, 1 goal. How concerned are you and how pumped are you for this revenge game, Jake?
Well, I know you're pumped for the revenge game. I'm always pumped for revenge. This is about as big as it gets, though. Stammer going back to Tampa. Obviously, it's going to be emotional. I don't know what they have planned. I have to think there could be a little bit of a weight off the shoulders for him the rest of the season after this, right? He knew that this was happening early in the season. Obviously, you have the date circled. You're thinking about it. It's in the back of your mind. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight. He'll get through it. But I think moving forward after this game, Nick, maybe we see a bump in Stamkos just to kind of take a breath and say, okay, I'm past that. Now I can just play with my new team. He's got talented players there in Nashville. They are starting to win. They've won a few games in a row, so they're kind of turning their season around tonight. So Stamkos is another one. I think once he gets through this, you could see him take a breath and play a lot better the rest of the season.
It makes me ponder, though, of the two buy low options we just discussed, Hyman or Stamkos, who would I want more right now? It probably still has to be Hyman. I wonder about Nashville. I wonder about a guy like Stamkos, who's been in Tampa his entire career. And I wasn't sure he was going to have the biggest year. And I think it's going according to script thus far.
It's Hyman playing on the Oilers. That's a no-brainer to me, Jake.
There's so many guys in that Nashville offense that want to shoot, right? When he was playing with Tampa, he was outside of maybe Kucherov, a couple other guys. Like, he's the guy that they were looking to get the puck to and shoot. Nashville's loaded with shooters. They've got Forsberg. They've got Josi. Marchessault loves to shoot it as well. So I think Stamkos is tentatively trying to find his way in that offense and play a different role. And that could take a whole year to get adjusted to. So I'm with Bob. I'm with you, Nick. If I'm buying low on anybody, it's got to be Zach Hyman right now.
You think Stammer, when he signed with Nashville, he's like, yeah, I'm going to play with Tommy Novak and Gustav Nyquist. Like, let's get serious with these line combinations. The good news, though, is that the Preds are playing much better. They've won three in a row. And the comparisons are always going to be there as well. Jake Guentzel quietly has been off to a really good start. 8 games, 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points. Kucherov's done his thing. Like, Tampa's been up and down. That's what we expected. But the key figures are still complementing this roster right now.
I think he's another one that's trying to figure out a different role there, right? And it maybe took him a handful of games. But he's such a talented player that he was always going to figure it out eventually. And when you're playing with Kucherov, I think it's just, okay, where do I go on the power play? Where do I stand here? You know, where do you want me? And I think he's starting to figure that out. And Guentzel could absolutely pop. I wanted to throw the Kings at you as well, Nick. Obviously, they've turned things around a little bit here. They had that crazy long road trip to start the season. Now they've come back. They've won a couple of games, for their last 5. They look pretty good. I think there could be some fantasy value. Your guy Brant Clark is starting to heat up a few points in the last 2 games. So anyone on LA interest you here? They got a couple of easy matchups this week.
He is my guy. You're right. Alex Laferriere is another one. I don't want to throw the F word out there, but I don't know if the Kings are as real as people think with that record. Like, frauds, by the way, is the word I was looking for there. Ooh. You guys were shaking your heads. You didn't know which direction I was going on this podcast. Come on. But I, Jake, I don't think they're a great team. I think they've had a very favorable schedule when they've lost. It's been ugly early on. And I still wonder about the crease, and also Drew Doughty's out of that lineup. But to answer your question, Clark's a guy I'd look at. Laferriere, I think there's some buy-low appeal even to like a Quentin Byfield early on. But LA's not the first place I'm going for offense right now.
So I think I like LA a lot more than you do. Where it worries me is when we get to the playoffs, can they match up against some of these teams? And they've proven that they can't. But I know there's going to be a part of the regular season. It happens every year with LA, a month-long stretch where they just lock it down and they play great defensively. And, you know, there's questions about their goaltending. But I think there's some fantasy value on this roster. They are a deep team, not necessarily top-heavy. But you mentioned Laferriere, maybe Turcotte, we give him a look. Byfield, I think, has taken a nice step as well. So Kings are a team I've got a lot of interest in, specifically this week with matchups against San Jose and Chicago coming up.
The Pacific's very interesting. Got Vegas at 1, LA 2, Calgary's in the mix, Vancouver, Edmonton so far. Looking forward to the return of Alexander Barkov for the Florida Panthers. Unsurprisingly, Jake, this team did not skip a beat. They went 5-2-1 in 8 outings without Barkov. The top producers, by the way, with Barkov out, Sam Reinhart, Anton Lindell, Sam Bennett, all had 5 goals in that time frame. This team is really, really good again.
We shouldn't be surprised. I think the question now is who takes a hit with Barkov coming back, right? I think Bennett's going to continue his role, to be honest, because his role didn't really change. That was always kind of the Bennett role, and he's continuing to fire the puck a lot. I think the obvious candidate to take a step back is Anton Lundell. I wouldn't be like racing to drop him or anything, Nick, but I think Lundell is a guy that should take a bit of a hit here. I just think he's a talented player, could still find a way to be productive in that offense. But is there anybody there that concerns you with Barkov coming back that could take a major hit?
Well, that's the guy I was going to highlight. Naturally, we've received a lot of questions delivered by Skip about Anton Lindell the last couple weeks, and rightfully so. 8 games without Barkov, 5 goals, 5 assists. There's only one puck last time I checked, and I just think, without question, I think his fantasy value will take a bit of a hit. Having said, I'm right there with you, Jake. Like, I think you ride this out if you're a Lindell fantasy owner, because nobody's going to trade for the guy right now. He's that type of player you pick up off the waiver wire. You ride him as long as you can, then you dump him. But so far, so good. And I'm curious, I mean, considering how good he's played, maybe they find a way to make him fit there in the top 6.
Well, and even if he's third line, second power play, it might not look great on paper, but he's still going to get his 15 minutes, maybe 16 minutes most nights, and I think he could make it work. They're going to try to limit the minutes for some of these top guys. If Florida's trying to win another Stanley Cup, you got to keep these guys healthy, and if you've got a player that's proving he can compete on the third line, heck, give him some more minutes. I can't figure out the Atlantic Division at all, Nick. I don't know if you can help me here at all. Just go Go pull up the standings. Like, everybody's 4-4. Everyone's 500. I don't know where this thing is going right now, but maybe that's good news if you're a Buffalo or a Detroit or an Ottawa trying to make a push for a playoff spot this year.
I will use the F word. A lot of frauds in this division. Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo. Yeah, same conversation as every year. The Leafs start slow every year. Florida's Florida. Tampa's going to be up and down. There's your answer, Jake.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. At the end of the day, it usually is the same big four at the top of the Atlantic. It's just been a very strange start there in terms of trying to back these teams and you know, figure out who's good and who's not. But cream will eventually rise to the top. That's usually how it is in that division.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, teams, I should say, feel out period in the month of October. I think it gets going for real early on in November. A bunch of injury returns late in the week we sort of touched on, but William Karlsson, welcome back. A goal and assist, 3 shots on goal versus San Jose. You got Luke Hughes in the mix with 3 games already, 1 assist, 4 shots on goal. And then a couple of netminders in Joseph Woll, 4 goals on 22, a 5-1 loss to St. Louis. Could he start against Winnipeg tonight? And Linus Allmark, I don't know if you caught that. Did you catch that game, Colorado-Ottawa, Sunday night?
I did. I also...
The revolving door with Forsberg and Allmark? I don't know what was going on there.
Just craziness. And I guess that's just what goaltending is in the NHL. Now, also caught that game on Friday, Nick, and I'll give you props. Good call by you on that Vegas spot. They did have to come back and work for that win against the Ottawa Senators, but I was a little worried when Allmark got announced about 30 minutes before, already having a bet on Vegas. Obviously, they had no problem scoring on him. So a little bit of concern there with how he looks coming back. And how do you feel about Joe Woll in that crease in Toronto? Only one start. I'm not going to panic. You know, a little bit of rust. He plays one game. I'm curious if he does get the start against Winnipeg, what kind of Joe Woll we see, because we know his ceiling potential. We just didn't see it in that first game against St. Louis.
I love the buy low appeal. Again, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, but on Thursday, I was actually at the game against St. Louis, and the Leafs just did nothing in front of him. Had a couple of 2-on-1s, 3-on-0s. Like, it was ugly. I think with Stolarz, they're going to be careful, right? He hasn't played more than 28 games in his career. I think they're looking at a bit of a timeshare. So I'd actually buy low right now on Joseph Woll. I know there's you always have to be cautiously optimistic because he does get hurt a lot and does have that track record. But I think now is a really good time to execute that type of move, Jake. It just with Allmark specifically, it just seems like same thing, different year for the Ottawa Senators. They can't keep the puck out of the net, man. Like, they got to figure that out, whether it's getting that big time save or whether it's zoning in defensively. They just can't find a way to keep the puck out of the net again.
I still feel like Jake Sanderson has taken another step this year. And if he, you know, turns into that legitimate top pairing guy, maybe that helps the back end a little bit, but you still need more than that, right? And it is a team defense thing. And sometimes it just looks like a nightmare for Ottawa to defend. So it would concern me starting any Sens goalie. You mentioned Luke Hughes coming back as well, Nick. I don't know how this affects things for you in New Jersey. Dougie Hamilton, you know, starting to play well. I think we got to give the lean towards Dougie right now, right? He's the veteran guy. He's paid a lot of money. Luke Hughes is going to have his time as we move forward here, but I just don't know if it's right now this season.
Yeah, again, we always talk about it. Just one puck on the blue line, and I just don't see the value in owning a Luke Hughes until something happens with Dougie Hamilton, whether he gets hurt or he's elsewhere, man. It just... too many cooks in the kitchen. I think, you know, Hamilton is paid to produce on that power play. I don't see him leaving PP1. And, you know, unfortunately, in turn, that hurts the value of like a Luke Hughes. I think he's like a middling depth type of fantasy defenseman. Until that changes, I don't feel high about that stock.
It's tough when you're not getting those power play touches, and it is tricky just because if he all of a sudden ends up on that first unit, his value skyrockets, right? You're playing with the big boys in New Jersey, but I don't see that happening. I don't think you bump Dougie, especially with the way that he's been playing the last handful of games, and I don't want to say he looks like the old Dougie Hamilton, but something similar to it. And as long as he stays healthy, I think the value in Luke Hughes this year is fairly low.
Before we bring in Pete Jensen, let's dissect this week's schedule, Jake. 52 games in total. 8 Monday, 7 Tuesday, 8 on Wednesday, 7 Thursday, Friday, 7, 11 Saturday, and 7 on Sunday. The 4-game teams you want to look at in the waiver wire: Boston, Calgary, Chicago, Columbus, Islanders, San Jose, Seattle, Tampa, Toronto, and Winnipeg, which we're about to go over. And the 2-game teams: Dallas, Detroit, and New Jersey. Any thoughts on all that?
Calgary, you said 4-game team. They continue to impress me. I was really looking forward to that game on Saturday between them and Winnipeg, two teams playing really high-level hockey. It didn't disappoint. I thought it was a fun game. And I think there's still a lot of value in Calgary, Nick, in terms of a fantasy angle. Like, a lot of players in that lineup. Igor Sharangovich is back now that we can attack. So whether it's the top guys, you know, Kadri, Huberdeau, but you could look, you know, further down to the Colemans, the Backlunds, some of these guys. I think Calgary is a team, especially with a four-game week, we could continue to attack here.
Sleepers. I love that. Week four, waiver wireless. Pete Jensen, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
The Winnipeg Jets are what's going on, right? Flying high right now with 8 straight wins, and let's start things off there, right? A lot of ways to tap into this team.
Cole Perfetti, atop your list, and rightfully so, Pete. Last 5 games, 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points. Are we finally seeing that breakout?
Definitely, and you think that this guy has a chance to even take on an expanded role at some point in the season when someone goes down inevitably with an injury, like always seems to happen in Winnipeg, unfortunately. I don't know that this whole thing is sustainable as much as it looks, but you can say that the Jets are cemented as a playoff team. I had them in the playoffs a little bit reluctantly in the preseason with the coaching change from Bonus retiring to Scott Arneil. But yeah, that second line and second power play that includes guys like Perfetti, Neil Pionk on the blue line is a must-own player right now in fantasy. And, of course, Vladislav Namestnikov, 6 points in 8 games with 4 of them on the power play on the second unit.
I wanted to bring this guy up with Nick, actually, in the opening block here, Pete, but I'll bring it up with you. Michael Granlund in San Jose, like, we were all fired up about Celebrini and Will Smith, and it's Granlund. I mean, they can't find a win. The Sharks are still searching for that win, yeah. But Granlund has been awesome.
He has been 10 points in 9 games. He's actually among the Edge Stats leaders in total skating distance as a forward. So it's really impressive. It's like the Erik Karlsson effect from 2 years ago when he won the Norris Trophy and had 100 points on a terrible team out in San Jose. Granlund's just getting the lion's share of the points, the ice time, the power play points, almost everything across the board. Maybe that changes a little bit when Celebrini comes back, but Granlund has been one of the biggest surprises in all of fantasy to this point.
That's the new Edge Stats alert, folks. We had an issue. We had a guy driving in the car the other day, and we had the European ambulance sounder go off, and he almost veered off the road. So I didn't want any issues with legal and the Fantasy on Ice podcast. I mean, Skip. I didn't want any issues with Skip. So we had to change the Edge Stats alert to moving forward. Okay, folks?
Sounds like a doorbell.
It
but,
does, yeah. I missed the European.
It is. It's a doorbell. That's what it is. It's a freaking doorbell. I don't want people veering off the road. I can't get too creative. I got legal involved.
Let's get a poll out there. I want the European horn back. Let's get a
well, I thought it was perfect. We're talking about San Jose, maybe the worst team in NHL history. That would have been a perfect time to bust that out.
I'm just telling you guys, almost had a serious issue on our hands. So, okay, can we move it forward now?
Glad everybody's okay out there.
Yeah, good to hear on that front. Let's throw back the clock, Pete. Tyler Seguin, a 3-game point streak, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points. It's been a unique start for the Dallas Stars, but that's a lot of waiver wire value, I would say, right now in Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, Dallas has the most loaded offense in the entire NHL, in my opinion. I know some guys have gotten out slow out of the gate. Stankoven's been pretty good. Wyatt Johnston, a little bit of a disappointment, taking a step back from the past 2 years where he just kept seeming to break out and then break out again even further. I would hang tight with Wyatt Johnston. But, yeah, that line with Mason Marchment, Matt Duchene is one of the best players of this past week in fantasy. And then Tyler Seguin is just really impressive group of veterans that I think could maybe get Dallas over the hump if they're healthy at the right time this postseason.
I had a listener question to throw at you, Pete, brought to you by Skip. Drouin coming back, PP1, line one, or do we stick with Ross Colton? I know he's been one of the better waiver wire guys so far this season.
I think with Colton, you don't need top line and first power play both. You need just one of them. And I think he's going to continue to maintain that lineup placement for at least another month or so until we see when Lehkonen comes back, maybe, or Landeskog, maybe both. Maybe that's around the time you sell high on Ross Colton. But Colton, to me, I posed the question on the fantasy Instagram, who has been the biggest surprise in all of fantasy, and it was overwhelmingly in favor of Ross Colton. You can make the case for Stone, like you guys were saying, from Vegas, or Barbashev, or Anthony Stolarz, or Granlund, but really, I think Colton takes the cake here so far.
I was concerned at practice the other day. They had Arturi Lehkonen on the top line for the Colorado Avalanche, but I wanted to keep it Pete in Colorado. A guy who's on your list in Juuse Annunen, who I still think is going to turn into a pumpkin at some point in time. But how, delivered by Skip, we got some questions about Annunen and Alexander Georgiev and how you tackle that crease right now for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, he's got like four straight wins, right? I mean, it's you got to give the guy credit, and I think he has a chance to usurp Georgiev. I mean, Georgiev is no longer a must roster player in fantasy, unfortunately. The Avs look a lot better. You got to give them credit for bouncing back in the midst of all these injuries with a backup goalie that was relatively unproven. So, you know, maybe Jake's preseason pick of the Avalanche certainly still has some merit. They've been hanging around here. And if they do get healthy at the right time, they're going to be beefed up. They're going to add at the trade deadline, either at goalie or another position or both. So, yeah, I believe in Juuse Annunen to help them continue to navigate this season of all the injuries and stuff.
I didn't abandon the pick yet, Pete, but I've thought about it. It was rough treading there early in the season, but I like what I'm seeing from the Avs, getting some reinforcements back as well. It's a long year, boys. Like, you don't win the cup in October, right? So,
right, exactly.
We'll see where it goes the rest of the year. One guy I've been loving, Pete, from a fantasy perspective, from a gambling perspective as well, whether it's the shot prop, the point prop, Pavel Dorofeev in Vegas right now. I think that top line's getting a lot of the attention, but Dorofeev getting some second line minutes, some first power play minutes as well. I think he's a guy that could really help us out here moving forward.
I think Vegas, along with Dallas, when you look at their centers with Hintz and Duchesne or whoever's playing center, Sagan and Wyatt Johnston or Stankoven, I mean, they probably have the deepest center lineup in the NHL, but Vegas is a very, very close second now that they have William Karlsson back going together with Hurdle. Hurdle's been one of the best power play point producers in the entire league so far this year. And then, of course, Eichel. So that's their big three. So Dorofeev's going to play with someone really good no matter which way you slice it. And a couple of years ago, right, he was looking like he was going to crack the top nine. And then what, they won the cup. He wasn't really a part of that. But now that they lost guys like Stevenson, Workhorse, and Jonathan Marchessault, their MVP from that postseason run, I think that Dorofeev is really, this is his coming out party this season. I would hang on to him in deeper leagues.
Very underrated for sure. I think naturally a big question I always have as a fantasy owner when a defenseman goes down, who do I pick up? But who are some guys in the back end who can give a bit of value to a boost to a fantasy roster right now?
Yeah, I mentioned Neil Pionk. He's owned in about 70% of leagues, so maybe he's long gone in standard formats. But Jake Middleton playing top pair with Brock Faber in Minnesota. Minnesota's offense has been a big surprise so far this season. Owen Power has been productive this season through thick and thin for the Sabres. The Sabres have won 4 of 6 and have scored 4-plus goals in all 6 of those games. I don't like them. I would fade them on Monday night against Barkov and the Panthers in that return, because remember, Florida lost to Buffalo earlier in the season when they were depleted. So maybe a puck line play on Florida there. But Buffalo is scoring the puck as good as anybody over the past week or two. So got to look at Owen Power. And then J.J. Moser, I think I mentioned him on the previous show. He's in that secondary defenseman spot that Sergachev used to hold with the Tampa Bay Lightning and is going to get points by accident, whether it's at even strength with all those guys or on the second power play.
Pete, we had a listener write in and just say Arvidsson. That was it. No question, nothing, just Arvidsson. But it did jog my mind a little bit to think, Arvidsson, Skinner, the two guys that came over in Edmonton, what are we feeling about their role right now? And what have you guys seen? Nick, you can hit this one as well. Like, do we still have interest in either? I like both players, but tricky role there in Edmonton right now.
I like the shot volume a lot more for Jeff Skinner, and I'm a little worried that this lack of production early from Arvidsson means that maybe he's just a little not the same player as he used to be with so many injuries this recent couple of seasons, right? So I am worried about Arvidsson. I would probably drop him. That's why the question was posed with just his name, because it's been kind of polarizing so far and disappointing. Jeff Skinner, though, high shot volume, good exposure in the top nine, and a recent pedigree just 2 seasons ago was a point per game player. So I would hang tough with Skinner as well.
Yeah, I would probably lean the same direction as Pete, where I think Skinner's got higher fantasy upside. Don't forget, Victor Arvidsson's coming off a pretty serious injury as well. I watched the game on Sunday, had a couple of opportunities. I would say as long as Arvidsson's skating with Drysdale, I think it would hang on right now, but certainly that leash is getting shorter and shorter as the production is just not there. In general, the Oilers are a team, I think they're just looking for a sort of a spark, a direction. Maybe it starts with Drysdale's birthday on Sunday, a big win against Detroit there.
Okay, Petey, I got one for you. This one is delivered by Skip. We want to thank Johnny for writing this one in. Got to drop one goalie, Petey. Who are you dropping here out of this bunch? Bobrovsky, Freddie Anderson, Stolarz, Dostal, or Ullmark? Who are you dropping, Peter?
Probably Ullmark, I think. I don't trust the Senators, and that's crazy to say because I don't trust the Ducks either, but Dostal has like a 930-something save percentage and could run away with that number one job even if Gibson comes back. So I think that Stolarz is worth hanging on to just because the Leafs, now that they're getting healthy with Wall and Stolarz, have a pretty decent tandem. I wouldn't cut ties on Stolarz just yet. So personally, Linus Ullmark, 2 years ago Vezina Trophy winner, has fallen off the map a little bit here.
Fair enough. Let's look at some bets. Jake, let's start here. The Stamkos revenge game. Any angles you're looking at specifically?
Oh, I've been flip-flopping with myself on this one. So I so badly just want to hit the Stamkos goal, the Preds money line, and play that narrative. But there's the other side to it, to think, okay, these Tampa players know what's going on. They're going to be elevated. Not that there's like hatred towards Stamkos or anything like that, but they still want to win this game. They know there's maybe some extra eyeballs on it. I just like the way Tampa's playing better right now. So if I were to pick a side, I would probably lean there. But I'd have to think they try to get Stamkos involved for the Preds, Nick. So maybe we do play the Stamkos prop angle. But yeah, in terms of a side, I think I'm leaning towards the Bolts on Monday night.
Yeah, normally I feel like this angle is overplayed when a player returns to a city. But with Stamkos' attachment and value to the city of Tampa, the money on the board, first and foremost, we'll never know what it is. It's going to be extreme, you would have to think. Like, you would think the one game Stamkos wants, it's this one. So I'm hitting the Nashville money line. I'm hitting the Stamkos goal. We talked about it earlier. He's got 1 point, a goal in 8 games so far. And what a time to break out against your former mates. I really like the Maple Leafs in Winnipeg. The Jets, we really haven't talked about them a lot on this podcast. Pete did mention them in the waiver wire list. But they're 8-0 to start the year. They're coming back from a road trip. The Maple Leafs have won 5 straight outings against Winnipeg. So for me, everything's leaning to Toronto in that game.
You make a good case, just in terms of the spot, right? First game back after a road trip, I usually like to fade those teams. But there's also the other side to say, let's just keep betting Winnipeg until they lose. I mean, yeah, if you've been doing that, you're up right now. And I do think this is usually a matchup that the Jets get up for. I'm going to need someone on the podcast to talk me out of betting the Columbus Blue Jackets, though, tonight. Edmonton, second half of a back-to-back. This Jackets team's kind of frisky. We saw them take it to the Leafs last week. I know talent-wise, Edmonton certainly has the advantage, but Columbus, big home dog, guys. I don't know. Maybe I'll go there.
Columbus been playing well. Yeah. They did nip my parlay. They lost to Nashville there in overtime on Saturday, so I'm a little upset with. They are frisky, though. I'm with Nick. Pick of the Monday board here. Maple Leafs. All right. At some point, the Jets are going to lose. The spot is right. Leafs have lost a few in a row. I love the Leafs tonight. Again, Be responsible, but I love the Leafs, Jake.
Okay, you guys told me. I'll jump on the Leafs. We'll all go down together with it. I get it. And look, these are games, actually. The Leafs can be so tricky. They could throw in the biggest clunker. They did it twice last week. But then they can also be competitive against good teams. So they're a tricky team to figure out, but a decent price for them. We talk about, when will Winnipeg lose? When will San Jose win? Guys,
can we
back the Sharks? I know it's tough for me to sell anybody on the San Jose Sharks, but in Utah Monday night, maybe that's a gettable game for them. I've liked the hockey club so far this year, but at some point, the Sharks got to win a game, guys.
Yeah, you would think. The thing that scares me with Utah, they can't keep the puck out of the net. It's not really on the goaltending defensively. They're just ravaged by injury and very loose. So maybe that's probably the way I would play that game, because I just don't feel strongly enough. Maybe you play the over between San Jose and Utah. Tuesday, Marc-Andre Fleury's final game in Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's getting the call there, but if he does, safe prop, Jake, Minnesota money line. This is the final one for Fleury in Pittsburgh, if you can believe it.
That's crazy. Yeah, and I don't know if there's going to be that sentimental start. At the end of the day, Minnesota's trying to win games, and if, you know, Gustafson gives them the best chance to win the game, he's going to get in there. That crease has been, you know, sort of tricky early in the year. I've liked what I've seen from Gustafson, although he got absolutely lit up over the weekend against the Flyers. So maybe it is time to get Fleury in there and play that sentimental angle. Bob?
I mean, if Fleury doesn't play the game, Peter, if Fleury doesn't play, Bill Guerin is going to drop. He's going to plummet on my GM list. He's given Fleury the start there. I mean, he understands. He was in Pittsburgh. He gets the whole thing. Fleury's got to play there in Pittsburgh, no?
Yeah, we don't need any anything toxic. We need Fleury in the lineup, right? He didn't get in there last year when they played at Pittsburgh. True. Bizarre stuff. So, yeah, hopefully they do the right thing there. I'm looking at a couple of guys that are still without a goal on the season that have 20-plus shots on goal. There are five of them to target. A couple of them play on Monday, actually. Zach Hyman, you guys mentioned, 25 shots on goal, no goals. Nick Schmaltz, 20 shots on goal, no goals. I like that spot for him in the props market for a goal against San Jose, playing on the line with Keller. There's also Morgan Frost, don't trust the Flyers. Dylan Cousins, really good shot volume, 29 in 9 games for Buffalo. So maybe look at him to cash in on a goal at big odds. And then Quinton Byfield, who you guys mentioned earlier, bounce back appeal, no goals on 20 shots in 9 games. And Byfield has been playing more often in his usual spot with Anze Kopitar. So that's good things.
Love it. Petey's getting proppy with it on today's broadcast. The fine little, last little sprinkle for me. We got a Hughes Bowl on Wednesday, guys. Can I just send anybody in a point parlay for all three brothers, Jake?
Oh, why not? Why not? Get the Hughes boys together in a parlay. I think you almost have to if they're playing together, right? And I'll leave you with one final prop just to keep an eye on. You don't have to bet it every single game, but keep an eye on it. Radko Gudas shot blocks. Usually over 2.5. It's greasy. I understand. It finally missed Sunday night against the Devils, but just go look at how many shots this guy's blocking. Radko Gudas sets up every game just looking to block shots. He's not interested in doing anything else out there.
Hey, for all those people who say we don't cover Bangers League on this podcast, you are incorrect on that front, because we love Radko Gudas, we love Chris Tanev and others. We're going to leave it at that. Don't forget, coming up later on this week, week 4 mailbag edition coming up on Thursday. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Kahn and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.